Welcome back to His Time. It is Monday, February 3rd. Monday means it is time for our regular guest, Reverend Joshua Shear from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Shear.
Good morning, Andy. How are we doing?
Oh, just great. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Good, good. And it's a nice chilly morning here. How about out in Wyoming?
It is the same. It's a little chilly this morning.
Yeah?
So we're just enjoying that little taste of winter here up here. So.
Very good.
Just all right. So I hear your son is cutting teeth.
We found the first one last night. So
awesome.
Yeah, we were wondering why he was kind of fussy last night. We couldn't figure it out. He was just having kind of a rough evening after a while, but he's generally a pretty happy baby, so that would make sense.
Indeed, indeed. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah, so exciting days ahead. We're, you know, looking at food, solid food, or
solid
soft foods,
food.
Soft foods in the near future.
Yeah, indeed. Keep reminding him that there's steak in his future.
So, that's right.
That's for sure. That's
so
for sure.
What do you have for us?
I have a few articles to start out with. I also wanted to kind of start out with, I just spent the last couple days at the Wyoming District's Tell the Good News About Jesus convocation, which is a annual evangelism convocation that the district puts on, where about 150 to 200 people from across the district get together and discuss and learn about things of evangelism. And this year's theme was something to do with what is truth, that is that fancy word epistemology, the meanings of words. And in our present day and age, of what kind of problems we've got with that, with postmodernity and a world that is increasingly hostile to the church, and people that are increasingly not wanting what the church has. And so just had some really good presentations. The videos should be up, hopefully, in the next week or two. I'll have them up on the Steadfast site as well. Some great presentations by a couple Steadfast writers, Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard, as well as Mr. Jim Pierce gave a good one. Jim Pierce is from Seattle, so I guess hats off to him today. We did cause him with the conference to miss, I think, half the Super Bowl because he was on a plane still, so it was good that way. And then we also had a presentation by a pastor in my circuit named Kenneth Mars, who did a great job of explaining science and religion, and he went back to what he found was the old distinction between the two books, the book of Revelation, as in scripture, but also the book of nature, that is what we would sometimes call the natural knowledge of God. So some good stuff should be coming up on the site, hopefully either this week or next week, as I find time to put the videos together. So otherwise, last week we had some great stuff. We had one article in which was titled Grandma and Grandpa's Church. By Mr. Nathan Redman, a layman up in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And he wrote this article about his experience in church of seeing older people mainly, of being, you know, the youngest guy in the room at 30 years old, and just seeing the churches and what's happening. Of course, I think a lot of LCMS, and not even just LCMS, but a lot of just other churchgoers, would probably see the same trend, that the church is graying, it's getting older, and Nathan does a great job of analyzing, you know, the effect of that, the prayer of the church, you know, always seemingly mentioning someone new has died, or announcements of deaths and funerals and visitation services and so forth, of being the youngest guy at a Bible study, of sitting next to people in the pew and they're all, you know, older. And he talks about how that affects his flesh, that is his sinful nature, that the sinful nature wants to get worried about that and anxious about that. And even at that point, start embracing other ideas to try to change that rather than, you know, going with the preaching of God's word and so forth, the Holy Spirit to draw people in, you know, developing new ways to, you know, bring in the young people, so to speak. And so he talks about those temptations and the anxieties that come in, and yet how it's, that's sinful. Anxiety, of course, is we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So anxiety and worry, as Christ warned us, does no good. And so he talks about you know, all these different worries. You know, will his church be there in 20 years? Will it be there in 50 years? Will his children have a chance to get married there? Will his funeral be there? And of course, all these cares and concerns the devil will more than happy take and happy to take and use to do all kinds of stuff. Like, well, maybe we need to do something different with church. He rightly comes around to the right conclusion that, well, this is not our concern, really. We should cherish our older members. We should cherish these seasoned and mature members of our church, the ones who've been there for 50, 60, 70 years. We should be looking to them and honoring the experience they have, oftentimes the biblical knowledge that they have after attending church for so long, that these are wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, and they should not be viewed as like some kind of death knell for the church. So he ends with a good paragraph here, and he says, you know, it may be a struggle, but we must try to look upon age demographics in our church as a treasure and not a burden. After many years of attending church with older members, I've come to respect and admire their faith and service. Too many times I have sat on my hands while the older brothers and sisters in Christ serve. It's time we started serving them as much as they have served us. We must continue to support our pastors in their service to older members, as the end-of-life circumstances may take an emotional toll on them. We should always be sure to remember that the service we offer them is nothing compared to the true service and sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ. His ultimate service to us all, has paved the way to life and salvation. The grave could not hold Jesus, and it will not hold us. Our sins are forgiven because of his perfect life, death, and resurrection. It's only through the grace of God, through faith in Christ Jesus, that we are sure of eternal life and salvation. Jesus is proof that God has not forgotten us. Let us not forget any of our brothers and sisters in Christ. From young to old, we are all children of God. I think that sums it up very nicely about regarding those older members, and stop looking at them as oh, they're, you know, it's a sign of the end of the church that all of the people in our church are gray-haired, and you know, you see more wheelchairs and walkers and canes, and that these things are actually good things, blessings,
we give
long-standing members.
We give thanks to God for those members.
Absolutely.
And the more that we can benefit from them being there and learn from them and enjoy the time that we have with them, the relationships that God has given us with them, so that they may mentor us and serve as good examples for us.
Absolutely.
So that we have a mature Christian faith to aspire to.
Exactly.
As Paul teaches us to emulate him, not try to be him, but to emulate the faith that he has, so these mature members for us can be, you know, good examples for us to, like many of the saints that have gone before us. So
absolutely,
they're a gift to us.
That's how we should view them, not a burden or not not a foretelling of things, you know, ominous things to come for congregations, but a gift, a treasure. So. Otherwise, I have another couple articles. I've had, of course, that series on youth work going around the last 3 weeks or so. We finally, this last week, released the third edition, which is about the organization of a youth group and involvement of the family or the parents. That Pastor Ramirez has consistently now put up this example of pastor and parent all working together in the youth group. That's a good way for it to work, because you have the authority of the pastor as far as the public preaching and teaching of the church, but you also have the authority of the parent, who has, of course, the authority of the fourth commandment over their children, but also the authority and admonition to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so that both pastor and parent would be involved in youth work, and that the youth groups would thrive based upon the fact that all these people are coming together to help teach and raise the youth together with their own gifts. And so he talks in this one, these are very practical posts. If you go on the site, you take a look at just these youth work posts, they're very practical. Maybe your youth group in your congregation is struggling. Maybe you don't have one and you're looking to start one. just a good way to look at how to organize it. And he does a great job of explaining it in very nuts and bolts type of terms. So I would encourage you to take a look at that, and encourage all your listeners to go and take a look at Pastor Ramirez's youth work posts. They are good things. So
I think there's a direct connection between the two posts that you just mentioned, the youth work posts and the older members of our congregation.
Indeed. What would you say it would be?
Well, those older members are all of the youth and the older members are all a part of the body of Christ. And as we were just talking about, those older members serve as great mentors and great examples for us that we shouldn't leave a gap between those generations, but encourage those generations to interact. Have Grandma and Grandpa be a part of those family and youth activities as well.
Excellent.
Encourage them.
My first parish, we had once a month, we'd have the youth come in about a half hour early for service, and they would have coffee or juice and donuts, and I would pair them up with a elderly member of the congregation to sit and talk to. And it was a wonderful experience for the youth as they got to know some of the stories of people they had seen in church for years, mm-hmm. but had not really talked to because of that age difference. And it really made them get out of their shell, but also learn a lot from those older ones, as well as then the older ones were encouraged also by the kind of youthfulness of those teenagers. So it was kind of a mutual thing, actually. They actually both were encouraged by it.
What a blessing.
Indeed.
What a blessing. Well, with about a minute left here, okay. Anything else for us from Brothers of John the Steadfast?
We had a guest article submitted by a teacher, Andrew Strickland, in which I entitled it Lutheran Schools and the Small Catechism, in which he recounts a story of going Christmas shopping and running into one of his former students and finding out that the student really didn't remember much from the classroom. And yet the student went on to recite part of the catechism to him. That was a great humbling reminder for him that the classroom, there's a lot of opportunities to teach a lot of different things. But for some reason with this specific student, the small catechism stuck and it stayed there. And it was something that this other student, former student, used to confess his faith. And, of course, the exhortation there to bring that small catechism and keep that small catechism in your classrooms. That it's a wonderful treasure of Lutheran schools, as we just wrapped up Lutheran Schools Week this last week. Wonderful treasure that they can teach these chief parts of the faith and instill them into the children on a day-to-day basis. So just kind of encouragement to any of those folks out there who are teachers or maybe parents of kids that are in Lutheran schools to exhort and encourage and be happy that the small catechism is being used in parish schools.
And amen. Absolutely.
Great thing. Great thing that goes on. So.
Well, thank you, Pastor Shearer. Always good to catch up with you on Mondays. Looking forward to hearing and seeing more stuff on the website next week.
Awesome.
God's
blessings, Eddie.
Thanks to you as well. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Stick around.